Well, you may have heard this story before, but I believe it bears repeating on an occasion such as Pentecost. It was the fall of 1967, and I was in the fourth grade. It had been an extremely hot and dry summer with no rain in sight. Instead of turning color, the leaves went from green to crisp brown that year. The Lucky Ohio Elementary School was on the edge of town and backed up to pasture land filled with sheep and cows and horses. And the wind gusts were very strong during our time for noon recess that day. Well, next to the school, in the pasture, an older man was burning a pile of leaves and other items of refuse. He had his bibbed overalls on along with a straw hat and a garden rake in his hand to control his burn pile. That's what people did back in the days. You would burn the trash behind the house. Well, the wind was relentless, and as we were playing football on the parched playground field, little by little we noticed the man's fire was growing and growing and growing, and could see that he could no longer keep up with it. In no time at all, it was an out-of-control blaze that was creeping towards the school playground. It was so exciting to watch. It was growing exponentially by the minute. Soon the fire crept through the fence of the school property and onto the corner of the football field. There was no stopping it as it was moving along at a very brisk pace, being pushed by the wind. Well, this was not acceptable. My friend Randy and I, who always loved an adventure, took it upon ourselves to be heroes and save the football field. We ran right out to the fire and began stomping as much as we could to keep the windswept blaze from burning our sacred ground. In the meantime, unbeknownst to us, the teacher on the playground duty for that day had frantically blown the whistle and called all the students back into the school, cutting our playground time short. Well, because of the wind and the blaze and the crackling of the fire and the smoke blocking our view, Randy and I didn't hear or see the other kids leave the playground. We just kept on being hot shots, working at putting the fire out. We were having so much fun stomping and facing off with the runaway blaze, determined to be heroes. We were losing ground fast, though. When the students got back to the classroom, our teacher, Mrs. Lowry, noticed that Randy and I were absent. One student spoke up and said that, well, they're out trying to put the fire out. Well, according to Steve, another classmate, Mrs. Lowry then jumped from her desk, ran down the hallway and down the stairs and towards the football field. No one had ever seen Mrs. Lowry run before. Her motherly instincts had kicked into high gear, and in no time at all, I felt a firm and not so gentle grip on my shoulder from behind, and all of a sudden, I was being dragged back towards the school. Randy was on the other side of Mrs. Lowry, experiencing the same fate as me. And as she was dragging us back into the school, the volunteer fire department fire trucks, lights going and sirens blowing, it just turned into the schoolyard and we're racing towards the fire. How humiliating to be dragged across the playground when the true heroes arrived. Once we arrived back at the classroom, it took Mrs. Lowry several minutes to gain her composure and settle down. She then said, I want you two out in the hallway right now. And our hearts began to melt with fear when she went for the bottom left drawer of her desk. Every student knew what was in the bottom left drawer. It was only opened on rare occasions. It was the only item in that drawer. It was the Board of Education. And Randy and I knew that our butts were soon going to be hotter than the playground fire. I'd never gotten the board before. It was usually reserved for the real delinquents in the classroom. I was an A student, and most days I was no trouble at all. But this was an extraordinary circumstance that demanded a lesson be learned. But just as we were about to turn around and grab our ankles at Mrs. Lowry's demand, Mrs. Spangler, the fifth grade teacher, had overheard the commotion in the hallway and began to intervene on our behalf. "Mary Jo," Mrs. Spangler said, it's like she was trying to talk someone off of the edge of jumping. "Mary Jo," that was Mrs. Lowry's first name, "can I talk to you?" Mary Jo was ready to go. She was going to tan our hides, and there was going to be some serious mustard on her swing. Well, they then began to whisper to one another for several minutes as Mrs. Spangler calmed her down. When they were done speaking, Mrs. Lowry walked over to us and said, "Go back to your seats, boys. You can thank Mrs. Spangler for coming to your rescue." Well, my faith in God grew immensely that day. It was divine intervention. It was an act of mercy from heaven above. I believe that to this day. The rest of the class was disappointed. It was always fun to hear the crack of the board out in the hallway, and then to see the kid walk back into the classroom and look at the expression on their face. But instead, we spent the next hour in the classroom talking about fire safety. On that day, we all learned that the combination of wind and fire can create an explosive situation. Right around that same time period in the late 60s, an American R&B band out of Chicago came hot on the scene of the music world. The group was called Earth, Wind, and Fire. Maurice White, the creator of the group, named it after the elements of his zodiac sign, Sagittarius, which were earth, wind, and fire. He said when the group performed, he wanted there to be an explosive experience in the audience, like that of earth, wind, and fire getting together. Well, earth, wind, and fire created an explosive experience for me on a playground in the 60s. For Maurice White and his band, EWF as they were called, he caused explosive experiences in the audiences to which his band performed, causing people to just want to get up and dance. But before the 60s, there was an even more explosive event that combined earth, wind, and fire. That event was Pentecost. Pentecost was the time that God came to earth with wind and fire. Hear again these words from Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now you can have a wind and fly a kite. You can have a fire and roast a hot dog. But when you have a mighty rushing wind on earth mixed with fire, you have an uncontrollable blaze. And that's what Pentecost was, the beginning of a mighty blaze that would burn around the world in the centuries to come. The word Pentecost means 50. When a person hears the word Pentecost today, sometimes they have reservations due to visions of people shouting and running up and down aisles of the church and rolling on the floor and babbling while the organist is inviting the Spirit to come. But in reality, Pentecost simply means 50. You don't have to fear the word. The festival of Pentecost was instituted by God in the Old Testament, commanded for His people to keep what was the celebration of how God gave the law to Moses 50 days after they were freed from slavery. 50 days after Passover. The law is what gave God's people their identity as his people. They were a people who were called to cherish and keep his commandments, to live around these commandments in relationship to him and to one another. And now it's no accident that 50 days after Passover, 50 days after Jesus Christ, the Passover lamb, was resurrected from the dead, God is using the day of Pentecost to once again create a new people consisting of not only Jews, but the entire world, a people of all races, cultures, and nations who are filled with his Spirit and live under the influence and power of that Spirit. I find it very interesting and no accident that when God gave the law to Moses, and Moses came down from the mountain, he discovered that while he was up on that mountain, they had forged a golden calf and were worshiping it because they didn't think he was going to return. And Moses became so angry, he threw the tablets down and shattered them. And God was so angry that 3,000 people died that day. Now on the day of Pentecost, when the mighty wind and fire came down from heaven, Peter went out in the streets to preach the very first sermon of the church. And wouldn't you know, 3,000 people, the Bible said, were saved that day. The law written on stone brought death. And the Spirit, which is written not on tablets, but upon our hearts and burns within us, brings life. This new Pentecost event is a new identity and an upgrade and a fulfillment of the prophetic symbolism of the Old Testament. And many people ask, is Pentecost still for today? Or was it a one-time event? Well, the answer is yes, it's very much still for today. In fact, we cannot be the church without Pentecost. That's why Jesus told his disciples to go and wait in the upper room. They couldn't just go out into the world. They had to wait for that power that was going to enable them to be God's people. The Holy Spirit is for you and me today, just as it was on that first day in Jerusalem. Over 2,000 years ago. We cannot be God's people without his Spirit anointing us. You must be born again, Jesus told Nicodemus. The Spirit is still moving in the lives of God's people today. The fire will never go out. There will be a faithful remnant upon this earth until Christ comes again, no matter how hard anyone tries to put that fire out. But when the Spirit moves, he does so in mysterious ways. To begin with, when the Spirit moves, he does so in an unexpected way. The text for today says, suddenly the house was shaken. Suddenly means unexpected. And when a lightning bolt comes down from heaven, you don't plan when a lightning bolt's going to hit. It just comes. Suddenly, and with power. American pastor and teacher Tony Evans had these words to say about the church in our time. The Holy Spirit has been unfortunately replaced with sophisticated 21st century Christianity. We celebrate our facilities more than the Holy Spirit. We celebrate human personalities more than the Holy Spirit. We celebrate notoriety more than the Holy Spirit. We have replaced him with entertainment and programs. Our church services are generally dictated by bulletins and an order of service that gives no room for the Spirit to do his thing or to move in our midst. We limit him to a set period of time, and that's it. And we wonder why the church is not on fire. And if the church is not on fire, why should the world pay any attention? That's a tough quote. That is hard to listen to. But to emphasize his point, you cannot plan a set time for the Spirit to move or act because God is in control, not vice versa. The Holy Spirit is uncontrollable. He controls the schedule, not us. Dwight L. Moody was to have a campaign in England, and an elderly pastor protested, "Why do we need this Mr. Moody? He's uneducated and inexperienced. Who does he think he is anyway? Does he think he has a monopoly on the Holy Spirit?" A younger, wiser pastor rose and responded, "No, but the Holy Spirit has a monopoly on Mr. Moody." And that's how it is. The Holy Spirit controls us, moves us, inspires us, not we him. In Acts chapter 8, we read about a man named Simon who sought to control the Holy Spirit for personal gain. Now, for some time, a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. And when they arrived, they prayed for the new believers that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them, they had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, "Give me also this ability so that everyone on whom I lay my hands will receive the Holy Spirit." And Peter answered, "May your money perish with you, because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord in the hope that he may forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin." Then Simon answered, "Pray to the Lord for me, so that nothing you have said may happen to me." Simon could not control the Spirit. The Holy Spirit leads and moves us. And when he does, he will lead us to unexpected people, unexpected situations, unexpected places at unexpected times. He will give us unexpected words to proclaim and inspire us to do unexpected acts of love through prayer and giving and serving, and he will be in control, and we need to allow for those times to happen in our lives if the Spirit so chooses to move through us, even if it's on a Tuesday and not on a Sunday. God isn't someone who we fit into our schedule. Rather, we must be willing to be a part of his schedule for us. Next, when the Spirit moves, he's unbounded. The Holy Spirit has no boundaries. Jesus had boundaries. He was confined to the earthly body that God the Father sent him in. He was locked into one place, one situation, one person at a time. But the Holy Spirit is unbounded. When the fire on the playground came to the fence line of the school, it didn't stop. It plowed right on through. There's nothing that can keep the Spirit contained. He is not confined to race, geographical regions, economic classes, denominations, or language barriers. And we need to remember this as God's people. There is no person we should say no to sharing the love of God with. Absolutely no one. We must be open to go anywhere he leads us and not put limits as to where and to whom he can send us. Pentecost was an uncontrollable and unbounded fire, and that fire still burns today. And finally, the church needs to realize this about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit moves in the midst of unity. The text today says that they were waiting in that room and they were all in one accord. They had been up there for 10 days since Jesus' ascension, praying and in one accord. We will not see a full fire in the church if we are not biblically unified. Today, there are more than 45,000 denominations in the church, with many believing what they want to, not what the Bible says. Does that sound unified to you? Is it any wonder the fire isn't burning as it did in that day? The first day of Pentecost had only earth, wind, and fire. There were no denominations or buildings. But they were of one accord. Think about this. Why do birds travel in flocks? Animals in herds? Fish swim in schools? They do so because they can't be their best. They can't be strong. They cannot survive without the unity of the community. The Holy Spirit moves unexpectedly. The Holy Spirit is uncontrollable and unbounded, and the Holy Spirit moves in the midst of biblical unity. In the days of old, God the Father sent the Son sent the Spirit, and now the triune God has joined us to that mission as well. He has adopted us and anointed us into His plan of salvation, into the family, and He sends us. Go and live in and be filled with His Holy Spirit today. Amen.